The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Church family, take your Bibles now. Study the Word of God together in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, as you have heard us already mention today, we are talking about the anxieties that we can cast on the Lord. We're wrapping up this four-part series as we began a month ago. And we have sung about the truths of God, of who He is, how great He is, that He has made us a child of God. He fights our battles, and it's not through us, it's through Christ in us. And as we will learn today from 1 Peter 5, that we need to learn to cast the anxieties on the Lord rather than holding them ourselves. Let me remind you where we've been over the past 4 weeks as we've talked about this series. We paused our series in the Gospel of John to be able to address some of the issues that are going on in our world and just what people are feeling emotionally and thinking through mentally and just struggling with anxiety. A few weeks ago, we began by looking at Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus said to us on three different occasions, do not be anxious. Jesus didn't suggest that we could take this as a possibility, but He said in a command, do not be anxious. And He said, consider the birds of the air, how they fly around, but yet they are not stockpiling. They're simply going out and getting their food for the day. Don't be anxious. See how God takes care of them. Don't be anxious. Consider the lilies of the field, how they don't toil, how they don't swim, but they literally just sit and wait for God to give the sun and the rain. Don't be anxious. And the way by which the Lord, Jesus Himself, said, how do we overcome this? He said, make sure you're seeking the kingdom of God first. We can't just mentally say, I don't want to be anxious, without making certain that we're seeking the Lord, because we need the Lord's help. For the past couple of Sundays, we've been looking at Philippians chapter 4. We've looked at verses 4 through verses 9, where Paul himself gave us 6 commands in regards to not being anxious. A few weeks ago, we looked at the first 4. Last week, we looked at the last 2. But let me remind you, in the center of all these commands is this command of do not be anxious. But we can't just isolate out the third command of not being anxious. We learn that in order to not be anxious, all of these holistically have to be done at the same time. Because we need to make certain that our hearts are focused on the Lord. So regardless of the anxieties that we might be facing, Paul challenges us to make certain that we're still rejoicing in the Lord. And he actually says it 2 times, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. He tells us that our mindset is to be focused upon the Lord, that we're to be looking upward in the midst of all of these things. And he challenges us to let our reasonableness or our calmness be known to everyone. And the question I posed to you a few weeks ago is, how do people know you? Do they know you as someone who's filled with anxiousness? That's all you talk about? Or do they see that maybe you have issues or struggles in your life, but yet you're calm because you're resting in the sovereignty and the supremacy of Almighty God? And then he gets to number 3 and he says, do not be anxious. Now, what's not on the screen, what we also learn in Philippians chapter 4, is that Paul does tell us that we're letting our reasonableness be known to people. But before he says, don't be anxious, he says, remember this, that the Lord is at hand. It's a mindset for us to always remember that in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the difficulty, the Lord is always where? At hand. He's always with us if we are His children. And in the 4th command, he told us the way that we deal with our anxiousness, he says, so let your requests be made known to God. Not to carry it by ourselves, but giving the request to God, laying it down at His feet. And then last week, we looked at these last 2 commands. Because in the first 4 commands, there's a promise that he gives us. In verse 7 of Philippians chapter 4, he says, if we're doing these things, he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Because our minds and our hearts, our emotions and our mindset, that is where we can be led astray. It's where the enemy can attack us. And so we have to guard our hearts and guard our minds, the things that the enemy wants to throw at us. So that's why the last 2 commands that Paul gives us, think on these things. We looked at a list last week of the things and we gave some definitions. Paul says, think about what's true, what's honorable, what's just, what's lovely, what's commendable, anything that is excellent, anything that's worthy of praise, think on these things. Because if our hearts and our minds have to be guarded towards anxiety, what we think on impacts how we deal with it. Because what we think about is what we eventually do and eventually what we become. And you say, okay, I got it. But what we learned last time is that Paul says, after you've done all these things, it's not a one-time check off the list. He says, practice these things. Because all of us in this room have probably struggled with some kind of anxiousness at some point. And all of us probably have had times where we've had a week or two or a month or maybe 3 months or 6 months that we were doing really good, and then something happens. And we feel right back where we started. And we feel like we're a failure. And we feel like that we're no longer good for the kingdom. And we start believing the lies of the enemy. Well, where do you start? Start practicing these things. Think about what is true. Seek the kingdom of God. Listen, as long as you have this right here, and until the Lord calls us home, we desperately need the help of God. And we desperately need to practice these things. We desperately need to constantly rejoice in the Lord, to keep our minds and our hearts focused on the Lord. We desperately need to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness over and over again. And so today, even as we get to the truths, we're going to see the very same thing that we are learning in this way. We've got to cast our anxieties on the Lord over and over again. But there were some God truths that we learned from these passages of Scripture that I want to give you again before we look at the First Peter. Because the God truths are the consistent element of God's character that we've learned from Matthew 6 and Philippians 4. The God truths is this. Number one, God is our Heavenly Father and loves us and is in control of our needs. Now, I clarified and I'm going to clarify again. He's only a Heavenly Father to those who have repented of sin, trusted in Jesus as the Savior and King. Prior to that moment, He is your Creator. But He is not your Father until you believe in who He is, that you recognize you're a sinner, and you call out Him to save you. It's in that moment, according to John 1, verse 12, that Jesus and John tell us that we have to believe in Him. It's in that moment that He gives the right to us to become children of God. And if we are His children, then this first truth applies. He loves you, and He's in control of your needs. Number two, in regards to anxiety and struggles, and this truth, I can tell you, this principle of truth, I have shared this with more people over the past couple of weeks just in conversations, because it goes far beyond just dealing with anxiety. But number two is, I must do only what I can do. And then I must trust God's sovereign power to do what He can do and to accomplish what and when He wants to do it. So in regards to anxieties and struggles, we see these truths play out in Matthew 6. What did the birds do? They simply go out and they trust for God to provide. So for us, in regards to struggles or anxieties, we simply pray and we trust for God to do what He can do. We seek the kingdom. That's what we can do. And we trust for God to supply. In Philippians 4, when we're talking about what is it that our responsibility to do, we're to lay our requests before Almighty God. And we trust God to be able to be the one who gives us the peace that surpasses all understanding. You can't give yourself peace. I can't give you peace, but the principle applies. I do all that I can do, and I'm trusting God to do what He can do. The same truth is going to apply right here in 1 Peter chapter 5 that we are today. We're going to learn, we're going to see the very fact, actually the very words that says that God cares for you. And what we're going to be learning and our responsibility is that we have to be the one who casts the anxiety upon Him. Does God know your worries? Does God know your anxieties? Yes. So we have to be responsible to do what we can do, and then we have to trust the Lord God Almighty to take care of only what He can do. Now, I don't know what all is going on in your life this morning, what all is going on in your mind as we wrap up this series. I just want to make certain that you understand, just because we're wrapping up this series doesn't mean that when you walk out of this room this morning, you've got everything perfected and everything's all right and you don't ever going to deal with anxiety again. Would that not be awesome? And some of you may whip it more easily than others, and some of it may be a struggle for you. But I want to encourage your heart this morning, as we see from God's Word, from the very beginning, I want you to understand that God cares for you regardless of what's going on. He cares about your needs. And God wants you to understand that you can cast it on Him. So let's read the text together. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through verse 11 as our text. And let me give you the context. Because when we're normally we walk through books of the Bible, we go by verse, chapter by chapter, so we understand the context. When we fly over and land into a book like this, it's important that we understand the context. Peter was writing to some believers who were struggling. They were suffering for their faith, being persecuted for their faith. So some of their anxieties was what was going on in their life. And so Peter is writing to encourage them, and he's writing to the pastors of the church and to the members of the church as well, as they desperately need to cast all of their struggles onto the Lord. And so here we are right now in 2021. We've got some struggles going on in our world and in our life right now. We don't have to list them all. I think we're all on the Captain Obvious. We know what some of these struggles are. In this aspect, this passage of Scripture, regardless of if your struggles are different than what is obviously going on in the world, I want you to understand God knows it and God cares. Let's pick up now in verse 6 as Peter addresses the issue. He's going to give them four commands in this passage of Scripture. I want to point out the four commands, and I want you to hear very clearly before we even look at those. Casting anxiety is not one of the commands. Very similar to what Paul dealt with in Philippians chapter 4 is very similar to what we see even here in 1 Peter chapter 5. There are commands that surround the issue of anxiety, and it's important, as we saw in Paul's word, as we see here in 1 Peter, that we get all the commands right in order to be able to deal with anxiety. Please hear what I'm saying to you this morning. Anxiety is one element of the whole issue of how we walk with God. We have to be able to do all of these things. And what we're going to see this morning is that we're going to see anxiety related to situational anxiety and spiritual warfare anxiety. Remember, I told you there's different types of anxieties. There's clinical anxiety. There's unexplainable anxiety. There's COVID-produced anxiety. There's self-induced anxiety, the things that we've done, that we've made bad decisions that then cause us to be anxious. But there's also situational anxieties, whatever situations that's going on that can bring about anxiety. But there's also spiritual warfare that the enemy can use to attack us in the midst of anxiety or even attack us with anxiety. First Peter deals with these last two. The situation that they're dealing with, the struggling, the suffering, and then the spiritual attack. Now, hear me clearly as a disclaimer and to explain from the beginning. I'm not saying that just because you have anxiety, that's always spiritual warfare. But hear me closely. The enemy knows our weakness. And he's good at what he does. And as long as you walk on this earth and you are a child of God, you are at war with the enemy. And there may be times that he may use anxiousness that's already there, and then he may attack you in the midst of that to make you think that there's no way out of it. Hear God's word this morning. There is a call to be on guard. There is a call in the midst of this anxiousness text that's here to be realizing that we have an arch enemy. But in the midst of all of this, I want you to see that we have a God who's greater than the enemy. So although we're talking about the enemy this morning, let's make sure we walk out of here today realizing, remembering, knowing, holding to that the God is far greater than whatever attacks the enemy may give us. So let's read the word. In 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm going to point out the commands to you. Then we're going to read all the text. The first command's in verse 6. He says, humble yourselves. The second and third command is right together in verse 8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. And the fourth command is in verse 9, resist him firm in the faith. So there's your four commands. Humble yourselves, be sober-minded, be watchful, and resist him. Now what we're going to see at the end of this passage of Scripture is there's actually a promise by God Almighty that he's giving us through the Holy Spirit, as Peter wrote this, for those who are walking through these steps. Because some of you have been in a spot where you're in anxiety and you're wondering, are you ever going to get above this next wave of whatever it is? And you feel like it just keeps being a wave over and over again that you can't even get your feet grounded to get above the waves. I want you to hear the promise that God gives us in 1 Peter chapter 5. Now let's read the whole passage and then we'll walk through these one by one. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after having suffered a little while, here's the promises. The God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, he himself will restore. He will confirm. He will strengthen. And he will establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now let's walk through this passage of Scripture so we can understand this last charge, this last part of this series in regard to casting our anxiety. Number one, the first truth that we see here, in order to deal with anxiety, Peter tells us that we are to humble ourselves before God in order to cast our anxieties on Him. Now, if you're reading a translation that actually has a period at the end of verse 6 and verse 7 starts with a new sentence that actually says, cast your anxiety like a command, that's not the best way to translate from the original Greek language. Casting your anxieties is connected with humility before God. And here's what it's important to understand this. If we think that we've got it, how in the world are you going to think that you can cast your anxieties on the one that you don't need? So there's a connection between humility and casting. So what does it mean, though? Well, back up to verse 5, let's see the issue that's being dealt with. As Peter is writing to the pastors or the elders of the church, he's telling them to shepherd the flock of God that's among them. He tells the church that they need to humble themselves before the leadership. But in the midst of that, though, there's a charge that they need to be humble towards everyone because God has a thought about those who aren't humble. Let's read the passage, verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards another, for God opposes the who? Proud, but gives grace to the humble. So we see here very clearly that Peter is saying, look, God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And then he leads into verse 6 and 7 where he's saying, humble yourselves before God, and then cast your anxiety on Him. So put the truths together here. In order for us to be able to cast our anxiety upon the Lord, we cannot walk around in pride. Our humility towards God and our humility towards one another, it's not an either or. Listen closely. This is a both and. We cannot act like we are humble before God to say we need God, but yet we're not humble towards one another. Peter is telling us that we have to humble ourselves before each other. So let's give you an example. Let's say that I'm humble before God. Do not equate humility with weakness. Humility is actually a sign of strength that you recognize you need God and it's not you and yourself that can do it. So if you're humble before God, what you're recognizing is you need Him. But then if I'm prideful towards other people, then the same thing applies. How am I going to cast my anxiety on the Lord if I am not being able to be humble towards one another? Because verse 5 says the Lord opposes who? The proud. So if I'm trying to cast my anxiety on the Lord, but yet I'm being proud towards other people, then the Lord is opposed to me. It's important that we are humbling ourselves before Almighty God. Now look at the passage of Scripture in verse 6. Notice the wording that Peter actually gives us here of what we need to understand about whom we are casting our anxiety to and who we're humbling before. Look at it again in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the what? Mighty hand of God. God's hand is mighty. And there's two ways that we can look at this and understand it. First of all, now listen close. If I'm a child of God, and that's who Peter is writing to. If I am being prideful and I'm not being humble, God's mighty hand can actually handle me and deal with me. Because it says in verse 5, God opposes the proud. Listen closely. That doesn't mean just mentally or cognitively that He opposes the proud. God can work in our pride to make us humble to be able to be dependent upon Him. So if we're prideful and that we think that we got it and that we're His child and we're walking around like we're Mr. or Miss Everybody and we got it all together and we're not needing Him, God has a way to humble us that we actually need the King of Kings. And so Peter is saying God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble so that in due time He can exalt you. So let's put it in the context of anxiety. How many of you at times before says, I've got this, I can handle this, I don't need anybody, I'm not going to give it to the Lord because I can take care of this. How'd that work out for you? Usually it doesn't work out very well because it's in our pride we think that we're going to do it. You might do good for a week, you might do good for a month or 2 months or 3 months, but pretty soon you might fall flat on your face because God has shown you, fine, handle it. Do what you want to do. Do it your way. And then we get humbled to the point where we actually then can cast it back to the Lord. Now there's another way to look at this as well. Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God so at the proper time He exalts you. The other way we look at this is we're thinking about our anxieties. we say, okay, I'm going to cast my anxiety on the Lord because He's a mighty hand of God. I can cast it to Him because He is mighty. He's capable to take care of whatever my anxiousness is. He's able to handle whatever it is. There's a lie of the enemy that when you're thinking and walking through the struggles and you may think, oh, God can't handle this. It's too big for God. It's never going to happen. I've been praying this for a very long time. I'm not sure how I'm going to get out of this. But this passage of Scripture is what you have to hold to. This is why Peter connects casting the anxiety and humbling yourselves before the Lord, because it goes together. I'm going to humble myself before the Lord. Look at the text again. Humble yourselves before the Lord under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting your anxieties on Him. So casting and humility are wed together. It is a junction. It's like the bridge for success in regards to dealing with it. So I'm humbling myself before God and I'm casting it on Him. Why? Because I know He is mighty. He's able to handle whatever it is that you're struggling with. If you're anxious over a physical illness, or you're anxious over something in your marriage, or you're anxious over something in your finances, you're anxious over whatever's going on with the COVID world, or you're anxious in regards to whatever's going on in your personal world, you can cast it to Him because He is mighty. This is one of those truths that you have to hold to. Now, what's their anxiousness? I've already kind of alluded to that. Their anxiousness is that they're actually struggling. They're suffering. They're persecuting, being persecuted for their faith. Let me show it to you in the text. Look back with me to chapter 1 and look at verse 6. So this is their world of anxiousness. This is their world in regards to what's going on with them. So Peter encourages them in chapter 1, verse 6. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Peter's letting them know this is not in the oddity. It's not weird or strange that you're suffering or struggling. American Christians, hear that. Chapter 5, verse 9. Now we can understand the context of where he's going in this flow of thought in regards to suffering and struggling and anxiousness. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So what are they anxious over? They're anxious over their suffering. And so Peter is telling them, humble yourselves before God. Cast it on the Lord, because He's a mighty God. Now, I don't know what is going on in your world, but I do know 4 weeks ago, many of you brought these papers down and laid them on the stage. We gave these papers out 4 weeks ago, and many of you, at the end of our service, as a way by which saying you didn't want to be anxious, you wanted to give it to God, many of you just poured out your heart. Some just a few things written down. Some of you wrote the front and the page full, and you laid it down. And there was various needs that were listed on those papers. And I want to remind each of you, whether you wrote it or whether it's in your mind, whatever is on those papers, you have a mighty God that you've cast it before. Remember that. Hold to that. So in your humility, you don't have the power to do, to fix, to solve, to mend, to recreate, or to absolve it. That's why you need God. That's why we're here to worship together. Why are you here this morning? Just check off a religious box? I sure hope not. We're here every Sunday because we have a mighty God that we worship. And we come in this room to be reminded by brothers and sisters in Christ, to sing songs to the mighty God, to be reminded that He is able, capable to get us through whatever it is that we're walking through. And this passage of Scripture reminds us of that. Now, look at this text again in 1 Peter 5. He tells us to humble ourselves and to cast our anxiety on Him. Now, what does that actually mean? What does it mean for there to be casting? This word is only used one other time in the New Testament. It's only used in Luke chapter 19, verse 35. I'm going to put the scripture on the screen so you can see the text. Now, the context is that Jesus is about to enter into Jerusalem on His last week. Jesus sent His apostles to go get a donkey. And after He got the donkey, this is what was said. And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they sat Jesus on it. The word throwing is the same word that Peter used to cast. Now, why is that important to understand? Here's the reason. I want to illustrate this with this little towel here. The throwing and the casting, just illustrate, think about it with me. The apostles didn't throw the cloak on Jesus, on the donkey, then Jesus sits on it, and as soon as Jesus sits on the donkey, say, oh, we're just kidding. They threw it on the donkey, allowed Jesus to sit on it, and they walked away. Peter, by the way, who was there when this happened, is choosing the same word to talk about our anxieties. To say that we need to cast it on the Lord. To give it to Him. But how many of us do this? We lay before the Lord, oh God, here's my anxiety. And then you get up and you walk around and everybody else sees it and knows it. How you doing? I'm all right. You want to hear about my life? You get the picture? Man, we pet that anxiety. We wear that anxiety. We talk about that anxiety. But we're not talking about the mighty hand of God. So He tells us to cast it. Now, I know that that's a struggle. But listen, casting it on the Lord doesn't mean that it will leave your mind. Just because you're saying, I'm casting on the Lord, doesn't mean that it's not going to be there. But mentally and in your faith, you have to keep coming back to the truth to say, I have given it to the Lord. Because in this context, where Peter is challenging them to be realizing that the enemy is ready to attack, part of the attack, if we want to just lay one example out, is to say, you throw your anxiety down about your health. And you give it to the Lord and say, God, I have this issue. I'm trusting You're the sovereign hand of God, that You're in control. You know every cell in my body. You have the ability to heal me. So if You choose to do that divinely, or if You choose to do that medicinally, or if You don't choose to heal me at all, I lay it before You and I'm walking with You. The next day, the enemy could come back to you and say, you think God's really going to do something for you? Where the casting on the Lord is this. You say, I've already given it to the Lord, enemy. And He's got it. Now, let me help you to understand. Do not confuse the idea of casting with something that is very prominent in our culture, and that's a cast net. A cast net is a net that has a string or a rope attached to it, and you throw it out on the water, and you don't leave it there. What do you do with it? You pull it back, and you hope something's in it. Right? So we cast the net out and we bring it back, and you hope that there's some fish in there or something that you're using for bait, whatever it may be. But you're not casting it out there, and you don't just throw the net out there, because otherwise you got to go to Walmart or Academy or Sportsman's Warehouse and buy one every time. What good is that going to do? But how many of us actually do that application on this text? I'm casting my anxiety on the Lord, and they were bringing ours back and everybody else's anxieties as well, rather than casting it and leaving it to the Lord. Now you say, why would you do this? Why would you want to do this? Because the answer is in the text. Look at the text again in chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxieties on Him. Say this with me. Because He cares for you. The reason why you can cast it to the Lord is because you know He cares about you. And He cares about the situation that's causing your anxiety. Now, I know that many of us handle lots of burdens and care for lots of people. And we bear those burdens, because Galatians 6 actually tells us, bear one another's burdens. But bearing the burden doesn't mean that you get into the anxious mode where you're thinking that you're the one who's going to solve it. You just walk with your brothers and sisters in Christ, but you're casting it on the Lord because you know He cares enough for you. Now, how do we do this practically? What does this mean? How do we cast it? Let me just remind you of what we learned last week in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. I'll put it on the screen for you, just so you can be as a reminder. Paul tells us, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by what? Prayer. So the way by which we're going to cast it on the Lord is prayer. You say, how often do I need to do that? Remember what he said in the end part of Philippians 4? practice these things. So you may have to cast it, not just daily. You might have to cast it all day long. Because you throw it there, because remember, the enemy wants to come against us over and over again. Do you think his attacks are just one time? The enemy is profusely, consistently going to try to attack us in regards to doing this. So we have to constantly lay it down. So what's the second part connected to this? Now look at the text again, 1 Peter chapter 5. He gives us the second command. So we're humbling ourselves and we're casting our anxiety to him because we know he cares for us. You say, Pastor, does he really care about this? Yes. Well, what about this need? The answer is yes. What about this need? Yes. Is there anything that Peter listed he doesn't care about? No, he cares for you. If you're his child, he cares for you. And then he says, secondly, we're going to put the second and third command together. Be sober-minded and be watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, I know that many of you have probably studied this passage of Scripture outside of the anxious element. But that is what the passage is talking about. Casting your anxiety to him because the devil is prowling around seeking someone to devour. Now let's talk about what does it mean to be sober-minded? How in the world does this connect with our casting our anxieties to the Lord? What does it mean to be sober-minded? What it means to be watchful. And let me just explain from the very beginning. You can't be watchful if you're not sober-minded. Now, to be sober-minded, what he's talking about, he's not talking about intoxication of alcohol, but we can use that as an illustration. If someone's intoxicated, they're not sober-minded. They're confused, they're cloudy, they don't talk right, they don't walk right, they don't act right. And so what Peter is saying is now using the illustration to say you need to be sober-minded in your thinking, sober-minded when it comes to this anxiety and being watchful. Now remember, I'm going to connect it back to the truth that we learned in Philippians chapter 4. Remember what Paul says? That we need to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. How did he tell us to do that? In verse 7, he says to me, Philippians 4, he says, think on these things, that which is true, which is lovely, which is just, which is commendable, anything that's excellent, anything that's worthy of praise. So if I am wrestling with anxiety and I want to cast my anxiety on the Lord, I've got to be sober-minded, which means that I have got to keep putting my mind upon what is true and what is right. Because those who have wrestled with anxiety, you know that whatever the element is, it can consume you and it can eat at you all day long. And so we have to, again, the end of Philippians 4 said what? Not just think about these things, but what did it say? We need to practice these things. So if your mindset is struggling or worrying about whatever it is, and if we want to be sober-minded, there's a reason for that. He says, because the adversary is seeking someone, let's just make it very plain, to eat for lunch. So if I am constantly being consumed with my anxiousness, and not placing my mind upon what is truth, and not casting my anxiety upon the Lord, then I become a target for the enemy. You see the connections? So I'm sober-minded, meaning I got to keep practicing and putting my mind so that as the anxious thoughts arise, I have to keep putting my mind on what is true. So you see, how often do I do that? It may be a daily thing for you as well. It may be a minute. It may be an hourly thing for you. And it's a battle. But if you look at the history wars, wars were not won in 1 minute or 1 day. They were won through multiple battles, multiple engagements to overcome the enemy. And in the same way, you and I have an enemy who's going to come at us repeatedly over and over again. So we have to be sober-minded so that we can be watchful. You see, the watchfulness, if all we're thinking about, again, in our world, if we're just surrounded and we're just looking at the anxiousness, then our eyes are not up at the what we need to watch for, and that's the enemy. Now, the enemy is good at his attacks. Peter actually describes and puts him as a comparative to a roaring lion. Now, I know that many of you have watched Discovery, and you've watched different particular nature channels and shows, but contrary to what movies portray, lions don't roar when they get ready to attack. Do you know when they roar? Usually they're roaring at nighttime. And if they roar at nighttime, statistics say and experience says that their roar can travel up to 5 miles to be heard. But they're roaring because this is their territory and you don't belong to this pride. Listen close. Colossians 1:13 tells us at one time we all used to belong to the kingdom of darkness. But through Jesus Christ, we've been rescued and brought into the kingdom of His Son, Jesus Christ, in whom He loves. So we are in two kingdoms. Either we're in Satan's kingdom or we're in God's kingdom. And when you're in His kingdom, He doesn't roar at you. But when you're in God's kingdom, you're now outside of His pride and you now are His enemy. And He will roar at you because He wants to attack you. He's not just roaring to ward you off. He's roaring because He hates anything of God. Anything. Anything that's holy and righteous and true and lovely and commendable or excellent or worthy of praise, the enemy is against it. So when we think about this anxiousness, and we know that our mindset needs to be pure and sober-minded, we're watchful because we know that the enemy will come. Using this illustration, enemies, the lions, when it's a big target, they work as a pride. They will surround it and they will hunch. And they will do just what Peter says. They will prowl around until they find the correct moment to attack. So why is it necessary for an animal to be watchful? You ever seen these animals that you're on the show and all of a sudden the lions are around? It seems to be so close. Then all of a sudden, the animal whose mouth was down on the grass, their head pops up, their ears begin to perk because now they're watchful because something has alarmed them. They realize something is not right. And you'll see their head pop up and they're looking and they may catch something. They don't wait till the enemy gets right upon them. If they've caught wind of it, guess what they're doing? They're not inviting the pride for a nice tea. They're bailing because they know they're about to be lunch. And we, as believers, we have to be realizing we've got to be watchful. When? How frequent? All the time. There's always a watchman. Always needing to be ready because the enemy wants to attack, especially when it comes to this struggle with the anxiety or the struggles that you're thinking through. You have to realize, okay, if I'm struggling with this constantly in that moment, when you begin to doubt that God's with you, when you begin to doubt that there's a mighty hand of God, when you begin to doubt that He cares for you, then you become the target where the enemy can then prowl around. So your watchfulness is clinging to what is true. And that's where Peter goes next. He says, not just humble, not just being sober-minded, not just being watchful, but notice the last one, resist him firm in the faith. So let's put it together. So if you're being humble and you're casting your anxiety at him, you're being sober-minded, you're filling your mind with truth, and you're being watchful, does that mean that the enemy won't attack you? Okay, this is your participation part of the program. Does it mean that the enemy won't attack you? No. Even though he's prowling around seeking someone to devour, and usually the animals who are sick or isolated are usually the ones that get devoured first. So that's a key that you don't need to walk alone in your Christian faith. You need brothers and sisters in Christ. You need a church family to be connected to. But he's telling us, even in those moments, let's say that you are being strong, that you're being sober-minded, you're being watchful, you're humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, and you're casting your anxieties upon Him over and over again, and you're trusting in Him, it doesn't mean that you don't need to do this one. Resist Him firm in the faith. That you're ready to be able to resist Him when He does throw the attacks towards you. You cannot resist Him in your mentality. You cannot resist Him in your strong pride. You have to resist Him in what? In faith. Faith in what? Faith in believing what you've just read, that you have a mighty hand of God. Firm in what? firm in the face where the Word of God holds you up when the enemy has lied to you. This is why Scripture memory is so important. When the enemy lies to you, you hold to the truth of God. You're not holding to your emotions. You're not holding to your self-will. You're not holding to you just being strong enough to endure. You don't just pick yourself up. You don't just pick yourself up by the seat of the pants and say, I got this. No, no. You say, I am resisting him firm in the faith. When he lies to you, you speak a truth. When he wants to discourage you, you speak a truth. When he wants to defeat you, you speak a truth. You resist him firm in the faith. How often do you need to hold to this? All the time. 24/7. Keep holding it up. This is your shield of faith. This is your helmet of salvation. This is your sword of the Spirit. This is what you need. This is your breastplate of righteousness. You have to hold to this. Because if you're just firm in your emotions, you will fail. The Bible says pride goes before the fall. We need God. So let me give you an example. How does this practically look to be firm in the faith? Look back with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to understand how this works biblically, practically. So if Peter is telling them to humble themselves, he's telling them to be sober-minded, he's telling them to be watchful, and he's telling them to resist firm in the faith. I want to show you what that looks like to be firm in the faith when something comes. Verse 6 of chapter 1. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, how does that apply to resist him in the faith? So when the enemy throws a lie to you of whatever struggle that you're going through, when the enemy says to you, see, this is all because of sin, understand clearly, all struggles are not because of our sin. Struggles that we go through is because we live in a sinful world. But it could also be that God is allowing struggles to come in our life to accomplish what he said right here in this passage of Scripture. So how are we firm in the faith when the enemy is lying to us? We stand firm. We're watchful. We're humbling ourselves. We're casting on the Lord. And so you hold to this passage of Scripture and say, Lord, you said it might be for a little while. And you said this might be so that my faith could be tested as genuine gold. So enemy, Satan, I'm not believing your lies. I am firm in the fact that God is doing something in me through this trial. That is just one example. I can't tell you how many times I have taken a text or a passage of Scripture when the enemy has thrown something at me. And that's how I stand firm. I'm not standing firm on my previous victory. I'm standing firm on the victory of the text. And so I encourage you. I implore you. I beg you. Do not stand firm in your own ability, your own emotions, or your own strength. Because that's not humbling yourselves before the Lord. Our humility before the Lord is our recognition in his promises of what he said. So whatever it is that your struggle is, stand firm on the truth of God's word. Don't stand firm on what I'm saying today. You stand firm on what he's saying to you personally. Pick up the text, put your nose in it and say, oh God, I'm struggling. I'm anxious over this, but God, I'm going to stand firm in this. I'm going to cast my anxiety on you because I know that I need you and you care for me. So Lord, I'm holding to this word. Whatever your struggle is to get you through, find a verse that can be the anchor to your soul and hold to it. Now, there are promises that are here. Let's get them very quickly. Peter tells us in all of our anxiety that we're casting to him, there's a promise for us. Because if we're honest, many of you have wondered, how much longer will this last? He gives us a promise in chapter 5, in verse 10. Before we do this promise, I want to point out one thing to you. In verse 9, Peter makes it very clear. You're not the only person who's struggling. Look at verse 9. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brothers throughout where? The world. So if you're in your little pity party of your anxiousness, and you say, nobody knows what I'm going through. I'm the only one. That's a lie of the enemy. You can say, Lord, I know that you're a mighty hand of God, and you've helped my brothers and sisters around the world. And so if you've helped them, you can help me. You're not the only person who struggled. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. You say, well, they didn't have social media then. You don't have to have social media to struggle with things in the world. So you hold to the fact that God is with you and other people have gone through it. But here's the other part. But it's not just the fact that there's other people who have gone through it. It's the fact that God has helped them through it so he can help you through it. That's what you're holding to. And what's the promises? Believe in God's promises for you in the midst of your struggle. Here's the promises. Verse 10. After you've suffered, how long? Oh, say it again. How long? A little while. You say, how long's a little while? I don't know. It's a little while. Your little while might be 5 minutes. Your little while might be a month. Your little while might be a year. Your little while might be 10 years. But it's a little while in relationship to eternity. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, here's the promises, will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Man, these are good, and these could be a sermon in themselves, but I'm just going to give you a very quick definition. What does it mean? So if you're in this moment of struggle, you're casting your anxiety to the Lord, you're trying to humble yourself before the Lord, you're trying to be sober-minded, you're trying to be watchful, you're resisting firm in the faith, and you're saying, this is what you can hold to. This is a part of standing firm in the faith. This is a part of the promises of God that you hold to. What does it mean that he can restore you? Some of your passages, your translation may say, he can perfect you, which means the things that are lacking in me, the things that I am short of. If I am short of faith, maybe the struggle is that God is going to perfect you and restore you and bring you to completion. Maybe the struggle is so that there's something missing in you that God wants to produce in you that you didn't have. So the promise is he's going to restore you. So if you were also the second one, he's going to restore you. He's going to confirm you. He's going to make you immovable. Because in regard to to confirm means that he's going to hold you fast and he's going to make you immovable, which means it's kind of like a buoy in the water. The buoys that are out in like weather buoys that are way out in the ocean in the Gulf that they're used to be able to determine weather and waves and wind. Though, although they bobble back and forth, they're moored to the ground. They're moved to the ocean floor so they can stay in one spot so the readings can be consistent and determined. You and I need to be moored to the fact and promise of this scripture to realize is that God is going to confirm you. He's going to make you immovable. Even though you feel like your anxiety is slinging you all over the place, you're moored. And God's going to confirm you. And he's anchoring you. And he's not going to let you go. Number three, he's going to strengthen you. Sometimes our anxieties and our difficulties make us feel weak. But the promise is, Peter says, if you're humbling yourself, you're casting your anxiety, you're being sober-minded, you're being watchful, you're resisting firm in the faith, and you feel like you can't go one more day, God will strengthen you when you feel like you're about to fall flat. Fourth, he will establish you, which means that he will put you on a firm foundation, rock steady, dependable. He's going to get you through it, and then he's going to pick you up out of the miry clay, and he's going to establish you, because he already said, though for a little while, he will get you through it. Now, there's a tag verse that's here that many people just say it's like a prayer, but oh, I don't want you to miss this. Because remember, we said that the enemy is a roaring lion attacking those who are not a part of his kingdom. And so Peter ends this paragraph by saying, now to him, to Christ, be the dominion or the kingdom forever and ever. Peter's reminding us in all of these things of casting our anxiety upon him, to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, to be able to be sober-minded, to be watchful, to resist Him firm in the faith, because it is God Almighty, it's His mighty hand, His dominion will last. How long, church? How long? Forever. And that's what He's saying, to Him alone. Be forever and ever. So it is a great reminder for all of us in this room, and for those of you who are watching online, regardless of what your anxiety and your struggle is, if you are in Christ, you belong to the kingdom that lasts. You belong to the King of kings and Lord of lords, who is the mighty hand of God. So I want to encourage you once again, just like we did 4 weeks ago. Although we don't have a piece of paper in your hand to write what you're anxious over, I'm encouraging you once again, if a month ago that you took your anxiety and you laid it up here and you walked away with it and you're in the same spot that you were, you need to lay it down. And you need to keep casting it to the Lord over and over again and believe the truths of God, believe in the faith of what God's Word says, and keep walking in faith and believing that God is going to restore you. He's going to confirm you. He's going to strengthen you, and He's going to establish you. Because He cares for you. So how frequent do you need to do this? Practice these things over and over. So I have just a few questions I want to end. Number one, have you been made a child of God? The God truth is that God cares about us, but we said that He's only the Father to those who believe in Him. So the first question you need to ask in this room and online, have you made Him your King? Number two, as a believer, are you trying to carry the load of anxiety all by yourself, or are you truly casting it on the Lord? Number three, are you truly believing that He has the mighty hand of God to carry your situation? What we believe determines how we pray. What we believe determines how we act. If He really is mighty God, and we really do believe mighty God, then pray like you believe it. Don't say, God, I'm not sure if You can handle my anxiety or not. No, you go to Him and say, God, You're a mighty God. And so I lay it before You. I don't know when You're going to get me out of it or when You're going to solve it for me. And it may be in this trial for a period of time. But until then, I'm laying it before You. Number four, are you being sober-minded? Are you being watchful? Are you filling your mind with truth? Are you allowing your mind to be saturated with the promises of God? Or are you allowing your anxiety to constantly boil over rather than filling your mind with truth? I'm not saying that your anxiety is going to be gone today. I pray that it would. Some people can get over it. Some people can't, and they struggle with it. But in the midst of those things, keep being sober-minded. Keep reminding yourself of what is true and be watchful. Because the enemy's prowling. Fifth question. Has the enemy attacked you? And have you given in? Have you been weak in the moment and not been firm in the faith and not resisted Him? If that was the case for you, I'm here to remind you that if you are God's child, He still cares for you. And He said He would strengthen you. He would restore you. And so it may be this morning that if you have fallen flat, you've been prideful, you've been arrogant, and you thought you could handle it, or you gave in, today, repent. And call back to the Lord and start at the first step and be humble before God and say, God, I blew it. And allow God to begin His work in you again. And then number six, not necessarily a question, but more just a statement. You need to be reminded that it's possible that God may not get you out of your anxiousness or your struggle instantly. It is possible that you may walk it for a little while. But just because you have to walk it for a little while doesn't mean that God's not with you. You hold to the faith of what He said in Philippians 4, the Lord is what? At hand. And you hold the promises that we see right here, that He's a mighty hand of God. So whether you walk it today, whether you walk it a week, or whether you're walking it a month, you hold to the promises of God and let your reasonableness be known to all people. Let your contentment be known to all people, that even though your struggle is going on, that they can see that you believe in the God who's holding you in the midst of all those things. And He will be faithful. He will establish you. And he'll eventually set your feet on the rock. And you become a witness to the world. So in a moment, we're going to respond. We'll have a time of response. And there will be people here to receive you. Maybe this morning you just need to come and even make an altar out of this stage. You just want to kneel before the Lord or make an altar right there out of your seat. You bow before the Lord and let's humble ourselves before the Lord. Get rid of the pride. Who cares what people are saying or thinking? Humble yourself before God and say, God, I need you this morning. Because some of you may be struggling and it's not very well with your soul when you're just in turmoil. We're going to sing a song that says, it is well. It is well. And if it's not well, he knows it's not. So let him know that you know that he knows and cast it to him. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful that you are a mighty God. And that regardless of what brothers and sisters in this room and those who are listening online may be struggling with, in their anxiousness or their worry or other things of their life, that we sit here this morning in this room before the mighty hand of God. So Lord, I pray that you would remind your people this morning of these truths and it would sit deep in their mind and their heart. So Lord, there may be some in this room and those who are watching online who have yet to take that first step of humility, which is to humble themselves before you, acknowledge that they're a sinner, and recognize they need you to be their Savior. And so, God, I pray for anyone in this room and anyone who's watching that they have not done that. Then today, God, that you would cause them to have faith. They would call out to you, humble themselves before you, and for you to save them. God, there may be believers in this room and those watching who've been trying to handle their anxiety, their struggle, all by themselves. And today you've reminded them they need to humble themselves before you. There are those in this room who have given their anxiety to you, but they're still carrying it. They're not casting it and not trusting that you care about them and you care about their situation. So what I ask that this morning, that if those who are still carrying that burden, oh God, help them today to cast it to you, to let you be the one who carries it for them. And then just help them to keep walking in the faith and their mind and their hearts to know that you are with them and that you're going to help them. God, the enemy is good at his attacks. He's good at prowling around and recognizing when we're weak. And God, some in this room have fallen or given in. And so God, I pray that for those that have done so, that today they would start right back at the beginning. They would humble themselves before you and they would throw themselves to you, God. And they'll be strong again so they can resist the enemy, firm in the faith. God, some in this room need to be reminded of the promises. That you're going to perfect us. You're going to confirm us. And you're going to establish us. And so, Lord, I pray that you help your people not to grow weary, but to stay strong. And so, Lord, I pray in this moment, you speak to our hearts. Help us to cling to you, to the promises of your word. God, set people free this morning from deep burdens, deep anxiousness, deep anxiety. Help us to cast it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. As we stand and as we sing and as we respond, as we sing this song, it's a prayer. It's well with our soul. If it's not well, then come. I pray right where you are. We're here for you. Let's respond as God has spoken to our hearts.